I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Darnold escapes, trying to buy himself some time. Fires end zone. It's caught. Incredible play by Darnold.
He'll hit immediately. And he got the handoff.
You know that's
the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's bye week, which means it's time for a half-season film review with the man who does the film over Blewett's Blitz for JetsXFactor.com, Mr. Joe Blewett. Joe, what's going on, buddy?
As you know, it's the bye week, so it was a good week. No Jets football on Sunday. Sometimes it gets a little bit depressing to watch, you know, other competitive football. But for me personally, it was a really good week just in terms of catching up on some film. I think I put up like 80-ish type plays on my Twitter of, you know, film I was backed up on. So, that was fun. So I'm all caught up, no stress, and, let's roll through these next 7 weeks and, see if the Jets, mount that number one pick, number two pick, and see if the hell's going to happen in free agency in the offseason.
The eternal question for the Jets the last decade. What will they do in the offseason? But for now, let's take a look at the guys that are here. We'll go unit by unit, and you can talk about what you've seen so far this season. We'll start at quarterback. It's been mostly Sam Darnold, but a couple of games of Joe Flacco as well. What have you seen from both of those guys?
Yeah, we know what's been Darnold's case this year. He has disappointed. I think he has definitely regressed from his second year. And, you know, his first year as well, gun shy. There's been, you know, plenty of times I've come on here, whether it be, you know, him reading leverage, and him looking in the right spot and not throwing the ball, the Denver game, you know, the dig route over the middle where Cager was wide open. He was clearly looking at Cager. It was his only read on that side of the field. He was staring right at it and getting from the ball, got him hurt, missing Berrios in the, you know, on the check down in the Colts game. Missing Crowder deep down the field in the Bills game as well. And instead, the Colts game, he took a sack instead of throwing the ball deep down the field to Berrios. There's been a lot of bad in terms of his footwork. He used to make 9 out of 10 throws with that bad footwork at USC and early in his Jets career. Now it seems like he's missing, you know, 4 out of 10 of those balls with the bad footwork. Not reading things pre-snap to post-snap, the gun-shyness that he never had before. The thing that made him so exciting, you know, coming out and, you know, early in his career was, you know, the fact that he would throw, you know, risky balls, but, you know, they were calculated risk, and he's starting to throw balls this year that are not calculated and, you know, are just stupid interceptions. He can't read coverages. He has a really big problem with smash concepts and reading guys drifting underneath and, you know, as cloud corners. There is a litany of problems that I have put up and I have talked about on the show, but it's evident that he has regressed regardless of the weapons that he has. And yes, there's times where, you know, the offensive line doesn't necessarily protect well, even though it's been a lot better this year. Or yes, there is times where, you know, receivers aren't getting open, and that's what's all accounted for. I'm not a stat humper. So I look at that stuff and I evaluate that. And there's time where guys aren't open, where he's taking sacks or forcing balls where he should throw the ball out of bounds. So there have been guys open that he's just not seeing. He has definitely regressed, which is a, you know, obviously an issue. and why a lot of fans want Lawrence. And I'm not a guy who thinks Sam Darnold is unsalvageable, but I just think, you know, hitching your wagon to him instead of taking a quarterback prospect in Lawrence, who is the most highly touted guy since Andrew Luck, or even a Justin Fields, who recently has risen up the boards and is the, like, surefire number two guy. Everybody's saying that, you know, in any other class or many other class, he would have been number one. So to skip on one of those guys to go to year four with Darnold and have to decide soon on that fifth-year contract is super risky, especially when you look at quarterbacks who do win on their second contract. It's only usually the elite guys, the Ben Roethlisbergers, the Aaron Rodgers, the Drew Brees, the Tom Brady's of the world. So you'd have to bank on Sam Darnold being, you know, a top 10 guy to win with that contract pretty much. And I'm not ready to say that. You know, even if he bounces back to Tannehill, like, would you really want, and, you know, if you had to choose one or the other, would you really want Tannehill over Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields? I think Tannehill's overrated by people, to be completely honest. I think his offensive fed to him, you know, through the offensive coordinator, it's a lot of simple stuff that he's doing. And obviously, in the playoff games, he threw the ball like 10 times, and it was all behind Derrick Henry. And recently, their offense has looked not as good. So, but that's a whole different, you know, thing. When Flacco was playing, he's been okay. The first game he played against the Dolphins, but the first game he played was okay. Second game, I believe, was actually against the Dolphins. That's when he struggled. Then obviously last game against the Patriots was the best quarterback game by a Jets, you know, quarterback the entire year. Threw some dimes, obviously, the one to Crowder, had a couple touchdown passes to Perryman, was hitting guys in their open, hit Mims over the middle a couple times. He missed a ball or two, like we discussed on last week's podcast. You can always go back and listen to that. But he's been a decent backup. That's what he was brought here to do, and that's what he's been. So he's been fine, but the big disappointment is obviously with Darnold and the litany of problems that I've gone through. And again, it's not just one play, it's not just two plays. I have a bad Darnold thread in every single game. I have Darnold segments, and there are, you know, 50 plus bad plays easily. There's I would say at least every game, there's 8 to 10, and that's on a normal week. The games against the Colts, the games against the Broncos were dreadfully bad in my opinion with some of the things he was missing. So, I'm really obviously disappointed in Darnold. I was a guy when he was coming out, we were on this podcast, and I was saying, I think he could be a top five, a top 10 guy. And obviously he's not that. And a big part of that, I believe, is the coaching and the talent around him in his first couple of years, and it ruined him a little bit. That's inevitable, but we're not arguing, you know, how we got here with Darnold. We're arguing what he is now, and what he is now is a bottom, you know, 5 to 10 quarterback, very easily. So, could he bounce back? You know, maybe, but again, I'm not hitching my wagon to it. There's no way.
Joe, speaking of talent around Sam Darnold, let's talk about the wide receivers and tight ends. Rashad Perriman is somebody that a lot of people have been disappointed in, but I think he's been pretty good for the most part when he's been healthy. He's been a solid deep threat, not as good as Robbie Anderson, but still for the price, nowhere near as disappointing as I think a lot of people have made him out to be. Jamison Crowder has been really, really good, but missed a couple of games with injury. I've liked what I've seen out of Denzel Mims so far since he's come back. Braxton Berrios has shown himself to maybe be a fifth or sixth wide receiver. He might stick for the long haul as a decent roster piece, nothing more than that, but still a steady punt returner too. And as far as tight end, you want to talk about disappointments. Both of those guys are disappointments when we talk about Ryan Griffin and Christopher Herndon. A lot of people made assumptions about Herndon that he was going to be a top 10 tight end. Hasn't been anywhere close to that. Hasn't been able to catch. And when he has caught the ball, he's put it on the ground. Ryan Griffin's done basically nothing. And Trevon Wesco, who was drafted in the fourth round to be a blocking tight end, did next to nothing before getting put on IR. So the tight end group, extremely disappointing. The wide receiver group has been pretty solid individually. They haven't had a chance to play together much, but when each one has been on the field healthy, I think they've produced at a pretty solid level, even if they haven't been great.
Yeah, there's a lot to cover there. Obviously, Perriman, when he's healthy, I think he's solid, to be honest. And again, it's kind of like people blaming Darnold, you know, for not having these receivers. You can also look at receivers who don't necessarily have the best quarterbacks, and you can look at why their stats are hurting. You know, the prime example of this, and I'm not comparing, you know, I'm not saying Douglas is this bad. Maybe he is, but when everybody talks about Allen Robinson, everybody says Allen Robinson, but he's playing with Trubisky. He's playing with You know, obviously with Foles, so his numbers are going to hurt a little bit. And Perryman, the same thing. Like, look, the first week, I forget exactly what the stats were the first week, but something like 4 catches for 40 yards, whatever it was, it was something right around that. And Darnold missed him on an over route that could have easily been a 30 to 40 yard game or gain. So everybody was saying, "Oh, bad, you know, bad game, didn't do anything, 40 yards. What is that? You know, all this crap. Oh, he's the number one." But it's such a simplistic thing where you're looking at one play making the difference. Where if Darnold hits him on that play, now people are looking at, you know, again, I'm not exactly sure what the stats were, but now you're looking at 5 catches for 80 yards, and people are probably like, "Oh, okay, yeah, pretty solid game," because you know how people think, and they're gonna go, 80 times 16, oh my God, that's 1,200 yards. That's good. But 40 times 16, that's not a good season. Like, that's how simplistic people really are, which is frustrating to see, honestly. You know, just everything's about stats, and I get stats to a certain extent. But that first game, he wasn't bad. Like, he missed on a play that could have been a huge gain. When he is in the game, I think he has been getting open and being missed. The game, you know, just this last week, which is obviously a little bit of an outlier, but he could have easily had 4 touchdowns. The one he dropped because he was trying to see where he was relative to the back of the end zone. Another one was a pass interference, and it was because Joe Flacco threw the ball inside and short instead of leaving him, you know, outside and vertically. So that could have been a 4-touchdown game from him, or even, you know, just based on himself, it could have been at least a 3-touchdown game because Flacco missed the one throw. So he is a solid receiver. I'm not saying he's Allen Robinson, but if you have him in your starting lineup every week, he could be a solid number two. The problem with him is health. So is he going to be healthy? And that's obviously a massive question. But when he's on the field, I like Perryman more than other people do. I really do. Obviously, Crowder has been one of the best slot receivers in the NFL. He's a top 10 slot receiver, in my opinion. Really good route runner. Really shifty. Knows how to get open in zones. Catches the ball for the most part when it's thrown to him. So we don't really have to speak a ton on him. But he's solid, and I think he's going to be here. Next year, I believe it's like right around $11-12 million. I think you want the new young quarterback most likely to have a guy like Crowder who's reliable over the middle. Mims, listen, like, I just put up his film today, at least the time I'm recording this, and he has been really impressive. Like, I know it's only 120 yards or whatever over 3 games, but watching him run his routes, and again, how he gets out of his routes, not the best technique. The physicality he has, the way he's already tracking the ball and making catches, the body control, you know, it's all really impressive. And again, I don't want to hype up this kid too much, but when he's coming out, I compared him to AJ Green. When I did the show with Marcus Coleman breaking down his film, he agreed. He thought AJ Green, he saw a guy who he thought could be a top 10 receiver. I just did a show with Marcus Coleman the other day, and he was looking at some of the film, and he doubled down. He's like, he looks like a young Julio. And that's high praise. Now, do I think he's going to be Julio? Is that a bet on it? No. You know, take the field, obviously. But for a former NFL defensive back who literally is a professional football player, to see Mims and say that, you can't really be much more excited than that, especially, obviously, when it's kind of doubling down on what I've been saying of him. And, I see him that way, too. Maybe not. I thought AJ Green's a little bit better of a comparison. I don't think he's as much of a freak as a Julio Jones, but we're both seeing the same thing with him. And I don't get where the narrative is coming from. Oh, he could be a solid number two. No, listen, if Mims hits his ceiling, he is a top tier number one. Like, that's what he has the ability to be because of his frame, because of the physicality, because of his just natural ability to get out of breaks. Again, if he starts to hone in on his technique, it's going to be really, really exciting. A few times he got open in the Patriots game where he wasn't hit because Chuma Doga couldn't block. He also got wide. There's 2 plays I put up on of that game. I don't think we discussed it last time. Perryman stutter and go for a touchdown. Mims was also wide open on a dig route or open on a dig route. Did a really good job getting out of his break, holding his line, leaning into his guy before his break. And then there's another play deep in the left sideline where he beats his guy. I forget if it was like a stutter release or he walked it up on him. You know, some of the releases I talk about on my show, I forget what the release was, but he burned his guy easily by 2 yards vertically. And if you hit him, it was either going to be a 40 to 50 yard gain or it was going to be a touchdown. So, like, he's getting open and he's not even being targeted at times. So, I am ecstatic with his first couple of games. He had a bad play or two versus the Bills where there was one instance where he's breaking over the middle. I wanted to see him, you know, air quotes, cut his route flat because he, you know, if you cut your route too vertical as a guy on trail, he's able to get back into the route where if you cut it more flat, he's going to be, you know, on your basically on your ass, and he's not going to undercut the route. So I want to see him fix up that. And then also with the Darnold play where he should have hit him really early to the route in the flat, would have been a touchdown, a walking in touchdown. Darnold doesn't see him, obviously rolls out to the right, still is late to throw the ball, throws it to Mims, and Mims doesn't attack the ball, and it gets swatted out. But other than that, in his first game, yeah, he had a bad play or two, or not even a bad play, plays he could have cleaned up. But overall, through three games, I'm super, super excited, especially considering what his offseason was and the lack of it because of his injury. He's had no time to develop, and for him to be what he is already, I'm smiling. I'm happy with Mims. I'm really, really excited to see what he develops into. The rest of the guys are a bunch of Jags, to be completely honest. Like the Vincent Smith, Jeff Smith, like, let's be honest, if we weren't Jets fans, we wouldn't know who these guys are and will they be on the team next year. It depends on if they get better guys. The only guy who I think, you know, of those lower tier guys who could be something, maybe a Cager when he gets healthy, you know, in terms of the red zone weapon. And Berrios is a guy who I think could be a fifth, sixth string wide receiver. Do I think he should be a starter in a game? No, but, you know, obviously he's had instances of him dropping the ball. He dropped the ball versus the Bills, I believe it was, where Darnold was rolling out to the left, and he dropped it along the sideline. I believe it was a Colts game, or maybe it wasn't a Colts game. It might have been later in the season, but Darnold or Flacco, I think it's actually Flacco, was in some trouble, rolled out to the right, and he throws it into Berrios in the end zone, and he lets it go through his arms and drops the ball. Where it actually doesn't even hit his arms because he didn't track it well. So Berrios has some drop issues, but in terms of like a fifth, sixth string guy who's a shifty route runner, can provide some, you know, punt return duty, detail, whatever. He's decent at that. Another positive of him is when his quarterbacks are in trouble, he does do a really good job of adjusting his routes to get open. So I do like that aspect of him. So I think Berrios has earned himself a spot on the roster next year. But other than that, the Smiths and all these other guys, they're drags. So if they're here or not, who cares, really, to be completely honest. Vincent Smith has definitely been a disappointment this year. And then moving on to tight ends. I said Herndon was overrated his rookie year. I thought it was okay, but people hyping up to be a top 10 tight end after him doing, you know, next to nothing. Like, yeah, he had a few nice, route adjustments to Darnold, caught a couple balls. The Packers catch, the one-handed, was, of course, the highlight, but it was a lot of simple stuff. Like, I saw him getting open on scramble drills more than actually getting open and running routes and getting contested catches and stuff like that versus receivers. He actually did get a couple of nice contested catches, to be fair, but there wasn't a lot of route running into it, so it was kind of more of luck, in my opinion, and him just being in the right place in the right time. So I'm not saying I expected what he is this season, because I was expecting at least a decent tight end, but he's been dreadful. Like you said, he catches the ball, he fumbles it. If he's targeted, there's many times where he doesn't even catch the ball, and it's because of basic stuff. Him not tucking the ball in traffic, you know, not tucking the ball tight with one arm. His hand technique being dreadful in terms of catching the ball. We discussed that on a previous show as well. So he's been a disappointment. Okay, as a blocker, Griffin, as soon as they signed that contract, he said, oh, I don't know if I'm ever going to be what I was. It was concerning, and he hasn't been targeted. He hasn't been in the games. When he is in the game, he doesn't do much. I think with the new coach, maybe he'll be a little bit more productive, to be honest, if he is targeted a little bit more. But he's a backup. But yes, disappointing overall. And then Wesco is a blocker. And honestly, for Wesco, as a blocker, as a fullback H-back, I actually think he's been a pretty good positive as a blocker. He's not going to be much in the receiving game, which is okay. If he's going to be your third string receiver, second string receiver, and come in and block for you, that's fine. So obviously the play where he drove Bosa into the ground and hurt Bosa, obviously don't want to see him hurt people, but he's been taking guys on with the correct shoulders, leading the running backs well, setting edges well, or kicking guys out well, I should say, pinning guys. Like he's been blocking relatively well. So Wesco, when he's healthy, I am encouraged, with him as a blocker. Now, is he going to get, these guys going to get 400, 500 yards a year? No, I don't think so. I think you can hit him on screens, some short checkdown, things like that. But as a blocker, which he was brought in to do, he has been doing that well. So you have to give him a thumbs up. But other than that, it's been a lot of disappointment, in my opinion, from the tight end position. But I would say with the receiver position, they've been a positive. Again, not the best group in the NFL, not top half, not even maybe 15th to 20th. But when Perriman's healthy, when Crowder's healthy, when Mims is healthy, it's a pretty formidable trio right there. And then again, you have to be pretty encouraged with Berrios. And that's relative to expectations. Now, for the people who say he can replace Crowder, won't name names. That's silly. He's not Crowder. That's for damn sure. Just because he can run routes in the slot, he's shifted, doesn't mean he's Crowder. But as a backup, I'm happy with Berrios. I think he'll be here next year.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Play like a Jet.
Lastly on the offense, let's talk a little running back and offensive line. You mentioned how Wesco has done a good job blocking, but I would say overall certainly hasn't lived up to his draft slot. LaMichael Perine hasn't played as much as Wesco because Wesco was drafted last year, but I haven't loved what I've seen out of him. He's been fine. Blitz pickups have been decent, and he's been okay in the passing game, but just running the ball, he's been very much of a jag, and I don't know that I see anything out of him that would indicate he's going to be anything more than a depth piece going forward. The best running back on this roster has been Frank Gore, who hasn't really been all that good either, but he's been better than Perine. And we know, obviously, that Le'Veon Bell is gone. And then with the offensive line, got to be honest, Joe, didn't like the George Fant signing, but he's been a lot better than I expected. A little bit up and down, but the last few weeks, he's been much better in pass protection. And Greg Van Roten's another one. Didn't like that signing, but the last few weeks, he's really seemed to be a lot better in pass protection. The other two on the interior, not so hot this year. Alex Lewis has had a lot of trouble. He's banged up, but that's not an excuse for how poorly he's played. Connor McGovern's been a big letdown so far in year number one. And then, of course, Mekhi Becton has been the shining light. The only downside there is he's missed a few games due to injury. But he looks like a guy that could be a real stud going forward.
All right, yeah, starting off with the running backs. Frank Gore's been Frank Gore, like he is what you expected. Honestly, some of the games, more to start the season than recently, I was a little bit disappointed with his vision, where, you know, he might just be at that age where he sees a little bit of green grass and just tries to hit it because he needs to get those yards. But there are some times even when he's trying to cut the run back or bend it back or, you know, bounce it outside where he just doesn't have the athleticism to do it anymore. You can see that he struggles with that. But overall, he's been, you know, like you said, the best running back. Even when Bell was in, Bell was a little bit disappointing. I'm not just saying this because he's gone. I think I've hopefully earned the reputation to be fair, whether it's negatively or positively on a player. But he was pretty disappointing, and he hasn't really done much for the Chiefs. Didn't look good against the Jets when he played them. So Gore probably has been the best running back, which Bell has obviously fallen off a lot. But we'll see what he does with the Chiefs. You know, obviously he just got there, so maybe he's learned the playbook and stuff. But I don't think he looked overly explosive anymore. But yeah, Gore's been what he is. The last couple of weeks, he's definitely been a little bit better. And the Jets' offensive line, again, watching their goal lanes they opened this year as compared to last year, it's night and day. So Gore is hitting some holes that are pretty wide open. It's not like he's making a bunch of guys miss and things like that, but he hits holes when they're there for the most part, puts his head down, doesn't really break a lot of tackles, but he's been okay. And then, like you said, for Perine, I'm going to keep my horn in a little bit, but Perine is a guy who I like the pick overall. Like I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I was okay on it. But overall, so far, I would say he's been disappointing. His vision's been lacking for sure. We spoke about it last week where, you know, he's not reading hats properly. Like he sees a little bit of green grass and just goes for it. He's not a patient runner. Like, again, if you're kicking a zone handoff to the left and you're reading the defense and every single defender has outside leverage on your offensive line and your offensive line are doing a good job, where should you look? Like, look to the backside. And the backside gap was wide open against the Patriots, and he never hit it. And again, it's not Monday morning quarterbacking. I'm not taking a freeze frame while he's getting tackled, but the hole is there. I'm talking he should have hit the hole really, really early into the rep. There was a run earlier in the season where because of big footwork or because of bad footwork, again, when you're approaching the lines like that, like you want to press sometimes, you don't want to press sometimes. Sometimes you want to set guys up, you know, press them inside, get outside, whatever it may be. But when you're reading the holes, you undoubtedly want smaller footsteps, you know, because obviously larger footsteps leads to less change of direction. You're not as laterally mobile. And, you know, he basically missed the backside hole because he was taking too big of steps and then ran right into a linebacker because he couldn't cut back and hit that hole. He tried to cut it upfield, but he didn't necessarily even try to hit that hole because he didn't really see it. But he did try to cut up the field, and because of his bad feet, he ran right into a linebacker. He had, you know, some pass protection issues early in the year. They've been a little bit cleaned up, so that's a positive. You know, the Bills game, he had that touchdown run where he followed blocks to the outside on the outside zone, switched his hands, dove, touchdown. So he hasn't been dreadful, but I would say overall, based on my expectations, he's been a little bit of a disappointment. Could he bounce back? Sure, but I don't think he's going to be a number one type guy. And again, coming out of Florida, I didn't think he was going to be that. I think it's just because it's a relatively easy comparison, probably a lazy comparison, but like the Bilal Powell role, like the master of none but can do everything type guy. Like if he could round up to be that as a fourth round pick, I think everybody would take a Bilal Powell. And like you said, I think for West, like, so I'll take a hit on Piron again. For Wesco, you brought up him. Was he a fourth round pick? So I think for a fourth round pick, being a good block contender is not the worst thing. It's just not, obviously, you know, he's not, I don't know, name a good fourth round tight end. So, you know, it's all based on expectation. And his expectation was to be a number two. Has he shown that he can even be that yet? I'm not going to say yes. I don't think I would be comfortable with him as a number two on a good team yet. So, yeah, he's been, you know, a little bit disappointing. Now going, and then Ty Johnson's another guy. I guess you can throw him in there. When he's been in, he's looked pretty explosive. I want to see him more. So thumbs up to him. You know, at least when he is in the game, he does get some yards and show some explosion. Now offensive line, you know, I kind of, I guess, not killed myself, but I hurt myself with the Piron evaluation, but the Fant one was one I was standing alone on that one. I there's nobody else who was talking about Fant like I was talking about Fant, where I thought Fant could be decent, and he's been decent. So I'm happy with that because I trusted what I saw. I didn't just go with the flow of what everyone else is saying. And like you said, up and down, but the last couple of weeks he's been, you know, pretty positive. The Chiefs game is really good for him, you know, in terms of like film study. The Chiefs do like to do a lot of cross chops and rips on the edge, and he did a really nice job of kind of leaving his hand out there, you know, as bait for those guys, and then pull it away and fire after they chop. So he did a good job with that. Circle punches. He did some other things with his hand work that was positive in that game, and he's been a positive last couple of weeks, not letting up a lot of pressures. You know, did a really good job against the Patriots on the backside with a reach block. I was talking about on that Piron run, which allowed him to cut to the backside if he saw it. Did a really, really good job with that. You know, took a bucket step, you know, cut across the three tech space and then got in front of him with his hips. Did a really, really good job. He's had a few really nice plays the last couple of weeks, so he's been a huge positive. Dan Roten is a guy who started off the season pretty poorly, but this is another guy. It's kind of like, okay, I think he's even better than Brian Winters. I think he could be a below average guard, but still be better than what we had last year to start the season. That was not the case. But now at this point in the season, he's been solid the last couple of the weeks. He had a really nice pass protection rep against, the Chiefs. I believe it was where again, he basically handled the stunt completely by himself, which again, you want two guys to do that. It was between a linebacker. I forget it was like a crosslog blitz. I forget exactly what it was, but he handled the stunt completely by himself. This last week against the Patriots, he completely tossed the guy, which was nice to see. Just trucked him. So he's been, I would say, above average this, or about above average this these last couple of weeks, which is huge positive. Will he be here next year? I'm not sure about that, but you could definitely do worse at right guard. I think he's a starting level right guard now. Is he, you know, a top 15? No, but is he in that, you know, let's say, I think 15 to 20 is even a reach because I think he will, you know, round out a little bit. But if you're getting a guard who's healthy, plays all the snaps, and he's the 22nd best right guard in the league, like that, you can do worse than that for what he was given. So he's been better than expected. Now moving over to the center position, this is a guy in Conor McGovern who, again, we thought he was going to be in that top 10 to 15 range. He's been a disappointment. You know, he's been a bottom half, if not bottom 10 center. You know, again, it depends on what your ranking is, but let's say he's been the 22nd best center. Like, he's been disappointing. Now, with that being considered, or with that being said, not considered, some of that does fall on the guard play around him, especially early in the season where, you know, guys like Van Roten weren't passing off, you know, stunts properly to him. And Lewis being next to him, Lewis has been dreadful this year, so you can kind of put them both together. But, you know, Lewis in terms of, you know, him shooting his hand as he's going backwards, not forceful punches, late hands, not good hand placement, not good footwork, passing off stunts, awareness, he's been bad all around. And that has hurt McGovern. Now, McGovern has been a disappointment in his own right, but having a guy in Lewis next to you who does not pass off stunts properly definitely hurts the center position because you're kind of the aid to the guards. And if the guards aren't going to help you at all in terms of passing things off, it's really going to make you, you know, look bad. And again, there are times where, you know, the picker, the penetrator, whatever you want to call him, is being passed off, you know, or should be passed off to McGovern in a way where Lewis gets contact, you know, gets his right hand on him, you know, kind of matches him laterally, and then cross shoves him and plays long right into McGovern. McGovern picks him up and passes off the looper to, you know, to Lewis. Like, that's how it's supposed to work. But unfortunately, with a guy like Lewis, at times he's not even getting his hand on the penetrator. So the looper's job is to distract a guy in McGovern, which he does, but a good offensive line is going to pass off again because they're going to get contact on the picker, and then, the McGovern will pick that up. But Lewis isn't even doing that, so when McGovern's getting distracted by that looper, which he has to do because that's his assignment on that given play, so he has to account for him, his eyes do flash inside at the proper time or to his left at the proper time to pick up the penetrator, but because, again, there's no contact there, he's already running by, McGovern's hip, and it's a really hard, you know, spot for him to pick up that penetrator. So he's left in a bad spot with Lewis being next to him. And I'm sure that hurts some of his numbers because people aren't necessarily going to understand some of those nuances. So they might hit him for a pressure or a sack given up or a hit. So that'll negatively affect his grade. But again, so that might take him from, you know, maybe he should be at 18, then he's down to 22 again, like, you know, based on whatever rankings you're subscribing to. So overall disappointment, but again, I wouldn't be too hard on him because of some of the guard play, especially, you know, early in the season, it was really bad. And now it's only the left side of him that's really bad. So once he gets, you know, better guard play around him, more consistent play around him, I'm sure he will be better. But that's, again, I'm not completely absolving him. So he needs to step up because he will be here next year. So you want to see him improve. That's what we talked about. Obviously, Lewis has been a disappointment. Andrews has been even a bigger disappointment. He's an absolute train wreck when he's in the game. I am praying, and I don't know, like, if it's based on practice or if he's not fully healthy and if they had to activate him from the IR to get him onto the roster, or what exactly, you know, it is and why Clark is not playing. But I need to see Clark in the game because Lewis is clearly not the answer. Andrews is absolutely terrible. I know they just picked up the guy from the Vikings, Elfline, I believe it is, number 65. He obviously is going to have to practice and things like that. I don't know if he's going to be able to start or anything like that. He's been a major disappointment for the Vikings, being like a third-round pick or whatever it was. So I'm hoping he doesn't take reps away from Clark because I don't think he's a long-term left guard starter. So I'm really hoping over these next couple of games we're going to see a guy in Clark, because Clark's – I was excited about Clark's film. Again, there's been some, you know, P. Ryan, maybe I was a little bit wrong on him. It might be a little bit early, but I've been disappointed in him. But, like, you know, Fant, Greg Van Roten, Perryman, like, when he's healthy, I feel like I've been relatively on the money with them. And Clark, and, you know, Becton has exceeded expectations. You know, Mims has been good. But Davis, you know, again, said he was raw, and he showed it. He was raw in the first game against the Chiefs. The Patriots team, he was okay, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But, again, I go in a bunch of different directions. It's kind of just how my mind works. I had to cover all my bases. But now with a guy in Clark, like, I'm really excited to see him because his film was pretty good, like, especially against Clemson. Like, and a lot of people just talk about Clemson as the only thing that was available on YouTube, but I was able to get my hands on like another three or four games, and I was pretty encouraged by those games as well. So I'm really excited to see him start at left guard. And listen, like, yeah, am I going to expect him to be a finished product? Like, like Becton, we expected, you know, high highs, low lows. We didn't expect him to be as good as he is so quickly. But again, like that, he's the outlier. So if Clark comes in as a you know, what, a fourth round pick and struggles a little bit, but shows signs of being a long-term left guard, like that's what we want. So I want to see him with a couple of, you know, 7 games left, and I want to see if he could be that guy. Because then again, next year, you're looking at your center, you know, your left guard, your left tackle being set with probably your right tackle being set. And now listen, like Fant's been okay, he's been all right. But if you can get let's just say whatever situation, they get a Penei Sewell of a sixth pick or whatever, then yeah, take him. Like I'm not gonna pass up on an elite prospect for a guy who's holding the fort, who's decent. But you might have four of your starters, you know, set down for next year. Now you go into free agency and you pour a bunch of money into Joe Tooney, which we really wanted last year. So I remember us, you know, really wanting Tooney. So maybe they do that, and then now your line is above average, in my opinion. So I'm really excited to see Clark in there. I'm hoping very soon. Becton, again, elite start to the season. He is already, in my opinion, a top 15 left tackle in the league, maybe even top 10. Started off the season really, really hot. Unfortunately, the injuries have come. You hope that's not going to affect him long term. Now, some people said, "Oh, well, you know, again, he's so heavy. I'm worried about him with his injuries," and referencing his shoulder injuries. Shoulder injuries that have nothing to do with weight. It's your knees, your hips, you know, your ankles, things like that. So at least it hasn't been those injuries. But nonetheless, he has been a little bit injured. So you want to see that improved on again, because it is a concern with how big he is. But again, it's with those, knees, hips, ankles, things like that, not shoulders, because shoulders isn't a weight-bearing joint. Or whatever, I guess it's technically a joint. I'm not a freaking doctor. but overall, like the highs have been higher than we expected. The lows have been much higher than we expected. His lows have been him playing average, which is really, really good. Now, with that being said, again, I want to see him improve on some technique. There is times where he's relying a little bit too much on his power. And could that be a reason for his injuries? Listen, like, you know, it might be with his shoulder, if you think about it. Like, he always tries to launch guys, and being at a standstill, engaging and throwing guys, like, that's a lot of pressure on your shoulder. So I want to see that fixed up for maybe that reason. Maybe that is why his shoulders have been a little bit banged up, you know, now that I think about it. And, again, there was two times in the Patriots game where him trying to just rely purely on strength and throwing guys led to defenders getting tackles. You know, the one time against 91, doesn't get his hips into the block, doesn't climb him, like I said. He's able to shed off that one arm and make a tackle. Again, he's strong, but he's not strong enough to just destroy a 300-pound defensive line with one arm. And then, again, moving to the second level, and on his own block, nothing in front of him. He engages with a defensive back. The defensive back engages him. He throws the defensive back 5 yards. Great. You know, you moved him 5 yards. But he, again, didn't grip him, didn't climb that tree, didn't maintain contact. The DB is obviously then able to work around him laterally and make a tackle. So he could have drove the DB 10 yards down the field if he maintained contact, but he goes for that highlight play a little bit too much, in my opinion. So it'll look nice on one play, that hurt him the next. And again, he's been, you know, ridiculously good to start a season, but there is some technical work I want to see him do, you know, reaching a little bit for contact, hands a little bit too high. Like, there's definitely things there. But overall, again, even if he were to not really improve at this point, he was to just kind of flatline right now, you're looking at like a top 10 left tackle, top 15 left tackle, which I think we'd all take for the 11th overall pick. But I think with that improved technique, he could be the legit number one, number two best left tackle in the league. Like, he has that ability. And to be a top guy in the league, like, you need to be a freak. Like, whatever the position may be, minus maybe quarterback, like, corner to be the top guy, you have to be a freak a little bit in some sense. You know, linebacker, defensive lineman, whatever it is, like the Donalds out there, the Ramseys, the whoever's, like, they all have some freaky trait about them, and he has those traits where he can be that. And again, he has already had a better technique than I originally thought he would, so that's a positive. But again, there are ways to improve. So that's it with the offensive line. I think that's rounding out the offense, Scott.
Let's talk a little defense, Joe, and if there was one unit on this team that I would have bet money on being bad this year, It's the secondary. It's too bad I couldn't make that bet over at my bookie because I would have won some money. But you can bet on the full slate of games in college and the NFL this weekend. You can bet on MMA. You can bet on boxing. Anything you want, just go to my bookie and use the promo code OVERTIME. When you do, you'll get your first deposit matched halfway all the way up to $1,000. So if you put in $200, they match you $100. You put in $1,000, you get matched $500. That's the max, and you can do it for your first deposit over at my bookie. Like I said, wish you could have bet on the cornerbacks being bad because you'd have made some pretty good money, but there's still plenty of opportunities to make cash over at my bookie. Just use the promo code OVERTIME and you'll get your first deposit matched halfway all the way up to $1,000. So like I said, Joe, bad secondary this year, and there was no way that you would have expected anything other than that. Really quickly, let's just say that Pierre Desir, who's gone now, was terrible, and he was right in there with Tremaine Johnson in terms of being bad. Haven't seen much from Bless Austin this year. People got their hopes up for him, but he's really been more of a rotation piece. At safety, you've seen Marcus May play better when he's been in his traditional role of free safety. But he's been solid, nothing amazing. Ashton Davis has shown you some flashes the last couple of weeks. But other than that, he was hurt and then struggled a little bit early on. Bradley McDougal, who's out for the year now, was terrible. So he was a complete flop. And then when you look at the front seven, Joe, Bryce Huff looks like he could be a decent rotation piece. Harvey Lange, same thing. But for the most part, the linebacker play has not been great. And then up front, you got to say that that's been the strength of this defense yet again, because Quinnen Williams, before he got hurt, was really taking strides and becoming one of the best defensive linemen in the league. John Franklin Myers has been a revelation as a pass rusher on the defensive line, and Foley Fadakasi has turned into one of the best run-stopping defensive linemen in the league, too. So pieces to build from there, but mostly on the defensive line.
Yeah, if you are better, you know what I'm talking about, but I feel like those odds for the Jets defensive backs to not be very productive is like minus 600. it's like one of those bets where you throw $30 to win 32 or to win $2. Yeah, you have to get a lot of money to win money on that one. But starting with the secondary, Davis, you know, disappointment or not, whatever, like, he's raw. I expected him to be raw. The second game against the Patriots, he had some flashes, played all over, linebacker, outside linebacker, and it's funny too. Like, I think some of those are overrated where people are like, oh my God, he played outside corner. And that's just based on alignment. He's playing a safety role. Like, listen, if he's in man coverage on a tight end, the tight end flexes out, to outside the numbers. Is he playing a corner role, or is he's playing a traditional safety role? He's following a tight end. So, like, people look at that stuff a little bit too much. But, yeah, he did, even with me saying that, he did play all over the field, which is a positive. He didn't get beat, which is good. So he was solid against the Patriots. The Chiefs, he definitely struggled. He got roasted on the one touchdown, which we discussed, the Tyreek Hill, where he should have trusted the cloud corner to get underneath and get depth, as he didn't have a number two threat. But bit too hard on the corner part of it and got beat on the post. Actually earlier in that game, he let McCole Hardman just run right by him on a jet sweep where he did a good job getting outside leverage, but he never closed ground, so he didn't look good there. He kind of froze. I don't think it was a lack of effort. I think he just froze and didn't really know what to do, kind of panicked. So he had bad reps. But he also had a good rep of man coverage on Kelsey on 3rd and 11, which was a positive, where he's playing off coverage where they air quotes capped him, so they kind of showed man in the slot with pool blitz, and Ashton Davis came over the top to play him. So overall, I don't think he's been a disappointment. The injuries, you could say, and the lack of play, sure, but again, I expected him to be raw, and I would say the Patriots team is definitely a step in the right direction. So a little bit of like a meh, but maybe a little bit of a upper trajectory, but again, it's been like two games of real reps, so that's a lot. We need to see a lot more with that. McDougal was terrible. I thought he'd be a decent safety when he came here, and he just didn't look like his head was in the game at all. Like, he when we were all heard about the trade, like, damn, you're going from Seattle to the Jets. Like, what must that do to your psyche? And we saw, like, he doesn't look like he's in it, to be completely honest. And overall, like, doing the show with you, I was kind of confused about how they use him. He's not really good in the box. He's not really good deep. He's good in man coverage, but that's about it. So he has failed. He won't be here next year. Marcus May, again, you know, with not as bad as Herndon, but another player I think is a little bit overrated by Jets fans, to be completely honest. This game, I believe it was Marcus May who was playing in cover one and opened up to the right side. I believe it was the right side, or maybe it was the left side, whatever side it was. He was in cover one, and you need to scan the entire field. He only scanned one side, and then there was a post behind him or a seam route that he didn't pick up until late. And Cam Newton missed Jacoby Myers. Yeah, he opened to the right. It came from his left side of the offense's right, and he was late to pick it up. Cam Newton overthrew him, and it could have been a huge touchdown. That would have been on May. Again, you know, versus the Bills, Quinnen Williams, you know, the hidden production stats that don't matter type deal, got a pass rush on Josh Allen that led to Josh Allen not throwing the post. That was Marcus May's responsibility. Marcus May got roasted because his hips weren't proper. And again, you know, Quinnen Williams forced him into the no throw, but it wasn't a pressure. It wasn't a quarterback hit. It wasn't a sack. It wasn't a tackle for loss. It does not matter at all. He just saved the touchdown, but again, it did not matter. Just reiterating. So May, again, I think he's decent, but for the people who think, like, oh, he's one of the top free safeties in the league, no way, in my opinion. Again, he's been okay at best, in my opinion. Again, in my opinion, other than that, from the safeties, there's not really much. Corners, this year was awful. As bad as Tremaine Johnson, not going to say that, but yeah, it was frustrating to see him playing 10 yards off on 3rd and 5. We've all seen that story for the last 5-6 years, whatever it has been, that Denard Wilson has been here. Again, a guy who's hyped up for no reason, in my opinion. Again, there had to have been one good article about him, and everybody ran with that because are people really evaluating defensive back tape and their technique? Like, I don't think so. Even on these guys like alignment and stuff like that, like, it's just off. And Marcus has been on the same page with me as that. When I say Marcus, I'm referring to Marcus Coleman. Again, played in the NFL. So this year was terrible when he was here. Obviously, the last straw was him not giving effort on a few of those plays against the Patriots. Bless Austin has, again, if I'm getting tagged on Twitter at some random time of the day and it's from you, Scott, I know it's usually you arguing with somebody and then, you know, me having to come in with, like, film or something like that, or look at this film clip, and I was like, damn it, when I see Scott Mason tag me on Twitter. but I got your back on that one. I tagged the guy, I think, in a Bless Austin thread. He's been bad this year. Like, there's no two ways about it. He'll make one good hit or two good hits on the broadcast angle, and everybody hypes it up, but then they don't. Then they completely fail to recognize or discuss the other three tackles he missed that game. Like, the first – I think it was the first Bills game. Like, yeah, he made a hit or two, you know, forced Josh Allen to the fumble, but then he also missed two tackles. This Patriots game, some of his technique is just brutal. Like I said, like, there's times where he's in his back pedal reading the quarterback, where he should be reading the receiver, and then when he's supposed to be reading the quarterback, he's looking at the receiver, like, completely off, like, really basic technical things, like alignment, read steps, not knowing to do them, opening his hips up, literally allowing guys to attack his blind spot, and him being happy with that. Cover three, where you want to funnel things inside, and if you are going to shuffle technique like he does, you want to keep guys in your peripheral vision at the minimum, if not keep them in front of you, you know, again, in your vision, if you're opening up with your ass to the sideline, and he just allows guys to get behind him. Bit on a pump fake versus the Bills, that ball was thrown behind him, again, for a touchdown, illegal formation. Gabriel Davis beat him for a touchdown, I think, that game as well. He's beat for two touchdowns. The game against the Chiefs, he's beat for two touchdowns, both of them being against Tyreek Hill, where, like, little things, like, he's aligning way too far to the inside at times. He's standing with bend in his, you know, from his upper body, or from his waist up to his upper body, but it's really about the bend in the knees that you want, and he's playing with inside leverage, and he's, like, standing straight up with his feet almost, you know, touching each other, which is, like, terrible alignment. Like, you want shoulder, you know, again, it was anything, like, the basics is, like, okay, lifting, boxing, whatever, like, feet shoulder width apart, that's where you want your balance, like, you know, that's what you want. And he's standing, like, basically straight up before he has to, you know, play Tyreek Hill. If anything, you want to be ready. You want to be low. You know, you want to be prepared. And you're putting yourself in a situation where, regardless of what Tyreek Hill does, you're going to have to hop backwards or jump split because you have to get to balance. So he's not even ready at the snap. Like, it's little things. Like, he is not playing well at all right now. Again, for the people who expected him to be a number one, number two, because of a couple of good games against backup quarterbacks, and you know, call them what you want, you know, good games, I don't think they were. I think, again, he was the lesser of two or three evils at the cornerback position, and you're playing backup quarterback. So he's been a massive disappointment for the people who thought he'd be a starter. At this point, you know, I think he's a backup. Is he the number four? Maybe. Like, again, I think he is a guy who plays physically. I like the physicality he plays with. I like his size and stuff like that. But on a good corner group, is he even on the team? Like, let's be honest. I don't know. So he has a lot to prove to me. He's been terrible, absolutely dreadful, in my opinion. Poole has had a decent season. Again, another guy. I think secondary players tend to be overrated because, you know, you don't really see a lot of them on broadcast. Poole has been beat a couple times, but not been targeted because other guys are open again. To go back to the analogy with the bear, you don't have to be the fastest guy. You just can't be the slowest. And he's not the slowest. I'm not saying he's bad, but top slot corner in the NFL, these numbers and stuff. No, I think he's a good physical guy who's pretty versatile. Maybe a little bit above average, but that's about it for me. Again, to be fair, there'll be guys I'll hype up a little bit, Greg Van Roten, Fant, whatever, but I do try to be fair. Poole is decent, but I don't think too much more than that, which, again, watching his film from the Falcons, he was super inconsistent. So if you sign him and you have a decent slot corner, that's better than a lot of what the Jets have had in the last couple of years. Like, a decent slot corner is a valuable piece. I'm not saying he's trash and to cut him, but again, not the top slot corner in the NFL, but at the same time, no, he's not Buster Screen. Like, you know, somewhere in the middle, which is fine. Other than that, from the corners, like, Mollett has played a little bit when he comes in. He looks okay. Bryce Hall, you know, came in last week. And obviously with this year being cut and now Poole going to IR, he's going to see a plenty of run, which I think this is the guy, I said this on Twitter, who watching his film, I feel like he could be a long-term starter as a number one, number two, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe he's a number two. I don't know if he necessarily has the physicality and like that freakiness I talked about to be that legit number one guy. But again, if he could be a really good number two, like, that's awesome. I think he has the capability of being that. Last game, you know, got a holding penalty. I think maybe another penalty, but overall, first game in over a year, no training camp, no preseason, no games, no practices because he, you know, effed up his leg so bad. He didn't stand out as a terrible player, which is a good thing. And listen, if he is starting this year, he will get picked on at times. Like, so a rookie corner is the corner is probably like minus quarterback, corner, offensive line, like even defensive line. Like, those are some of the hardest positions to play in the NFL. So a rookie corner going against some of the guys you have to go against the next 7 weeks, he's going to struggle a little bit. But again, it's relative. You see strides. He's not getting roasted. Maybe instead of getting beat by 5 yards, he's getting beat by 1 yard, to be really simplistic. Like, there's things I'm looking for in that. But I think he could be a long-term starter. Really excited to see him. Didn't stand out in a bad way in his first game, which, again, is a positive. Other than that, from the corner position, there's really not much I can think of. Quincy Wilson was cut. But moving on. Middle linebackers, I guess we can go to, obviously. Mosley saw what was going on this year and said, screw it, I'm sitting out for COVID. Like, I legitimately think that's what happened. Maybe I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. He didn't want to play. And again, you know, now he's not going to play for 2 years. Hopefully he gets completely healed up. His game was never the physicality. Like, he is a good player in terms of his physicality plus physical, like in terms of, like, his, you know, strength and sideline to sideline and speed. Like, I think he's all plus in those areas. But his game comes from the mental, like, that's why he was paid, because he's a really smart dude. So hopefully he comes back and plays pretty well for the Jets, you know, when they're taking strides next year, which I do think they'll be a much better team next year. Avery Williamson was okay, but disappointing. He obviously is traded to the Steelers, so he doesn't matter anymore. Hewitt is a guy who is a decent box player. Physical, I love the physical nature of Hewitt, but is a backup, like, he shouldn't be starting. Cashman, has interesting athletic traits, but a guy coming from college being injured has been injured in the NFL and has missed a ton of time. So I feel like his career is kind of over before it ever started, which is disappointing because, again, best ability is availability, and he has shown that he has not been available both at college and in the NFL. So can you really, really rely on him? I don't think so. So we'll see what happens with him. Other than that, from the inside linebackers, Lange. Depth piece, sure. Love the physical nature of him. Again, we talked about the play last week of him, you know, almost getting a sack, getting cut block, getting back up, running down Cam Newton, goes a little bit too high. Newton breaks the sack. He runs after Newton again. Newton dumps the ball. Then he runs 10 yards on the field, makes a tackle. Like, he guys like that, I want on my team. And I think he earned himself a spot. And he has, you know, 7 more weeks to prove that he could be a backup, you know, key backup special teams type player the next couple of weeks. Because, again, like, one good game doesn't mean he's going to be the long-term inside linebacker for the Jets. Like, let's be honest. Like, there's a reason he's been a backup. He's pretty you don't want him in coverage and things like that on a consistent basis. But playing as you know, backups on a good team are important. So can he prove to be that the next couple of weeks? It'll be interesting to see. But those two guys, Hewitt and Lange, play with their, you know, balls to the wall, their hair on fire. So I love those guys in terms of backup key pieces for the Jets. Lange's a super physical dude as well. Taking on blockers, head on, things like that are really fun to watch him do, even though he's not necessarily the biggest guy. Outside linebackers, Jordan Jenkins has been a massive disappointment, not offering much in the run game, not offering much as a pass rusher. His awareness on sweeps and things like that, where the NFL is going, jet sweeps, fake orbit motions, whatever, he's lacking in that area. He just kind of gets distracted by contact, so he's going to be gone next year, most likely. Other than that, from outside linebackers, Basham has been a positive. Like, again, another rotational guy, straight line athlete. I want to see more of him. Zuniga hasn't really played a lot, and when he is in the game, I think against the Patriots, I think he's got a couple of reps. He looked pretty lost, but again, guy who didn't really have a lot of camps, so we'll see what happens with him. I don't think he'll ever amount to be a good pass rusher, but he might be like a rotational guy. We'll see what happens with him. Other than that, outside linebackers, you know, if I failed to mention anybody, tell me after, Scott. Defensive line, Fado Kosti, a little bit quiet at the start of the season, but has really showed up the last couple of weeks. I think he's a really good run-stuffing nose tackle, physically dominant player, plays a good leverage, plays a good tight elbows. He dominated the game in a couple of aspects the last couple of weeks. Quinton Williams, you know, one of the higher guys in terms of, like, run-stuff rate and pass rush win percentage and all of these you know, things, which is great because people love the stats, but also on the film, he's been positive in ways that don't necessarily, you know, show up on the stat sheet. Again, Josh Allen play, you know, gets pressure. I forget if it was a bull rush, rip, whatever it was, but he gets pressure in Josh Allen's face. Josh Allen can't step into his throw, can't throw the post route. Doesn't go on the sheet as a, you know, hurry or a pressure or anything like that, but maybe he does as a pressure, but again, people look at it as a pressure. Oh, who cares about a pressure? But it forced, you know, Josh Allen to not throw a touchdown pass. So it's a positive. He has shown up in the stat sheet. Again, could have another sack or two, but he's got some really soft penalties called against him. Showed Marcus some of those as well, and he thinks it's amusing how soft the NFL is. You know, the Josh Allen play. Like, there's one Josh Allen play where he's literally he's a little bit in the middle of his last step. Like, his feet are in the air, and he's in the middle of his last step, and he pops Josh Allen as he gets rid of the ball, like a quarter of a second after it. And then immediately raises his hand and tries to get no more contact on Josh Allen. But he's literally in the middle of a step. Like, you cannot slow down in the middle of a step. It's impossible. It's physically impossible. Even if you have one step left, it's almost physically impossible to stop. And it's a penalty. You know, he had two penalties versus the Broncos. One was a BS late hitter, and the other one was a face mask. Where, listen, face mask, it depends on the intention of it. If a guy's running by you, you grab him by the face mask, it's the last thing, you rip him down on the ground, okay, it's a dirty play. But in Quinton Williams, you know, an example of Quinton Williams, I think it was Rippon who tries to spin out of a sack, and he ducks his head, and Quinton Williams is going around the chest area, and because he ducks, he grabs the face mask. Like, there's different levels of bad penalties, and it wasn't a bad penalty, this is what it is. But he's been a very big positive. We mentioned, you know, Bryce Huff, a little bit more quiet last couple of weeks, got targeted on his own read, got beat up a little bit last game, not a positive game, but overall, again, for an undrafted guy, then getting some pressures, has been winning, so he's overall been a positive for sure. Maybe rotational rusher type deal, which again for undrafted guys, a huge plus. John Franklin Myers, again, watching I'm pretty sure we had a show about him, or maybe we did. Maybe he was just mentioned on, you know, in a 2-minute segment. But I remember being impressed with the film that he showed at the Rams. But the Rams have a ton of guys, Brockers, you know, Sue at that point. You know, obviously you have Aaron Donald, that goes without mentioning, but, you know, they had to cut him because they have a ton of guys. The Jets signed him, he was injured, but the film looked pretty good, and you know, really good straight line athlete, plays, you know, balls to the wall, physical as well, super good bull rush, you know, pretty good lateral athlete. Like, he has a lot of physical ability, and you can see with, like, some of the jump chops and jump clubs into rips and things that he does that he learned from guys in with the Rams, so some of his technique is pretty damn good, which is impressive. And I think the Jets have a, a good piece in the defensive line, like moving forward with a guy as starters with Q, Fadokasi, and Franklin Myers, who is more of like, you know, he plays on the edge. Like, I think he could set the edge well as a five tech. And when it is a passing down, rushing him as a three tech, four eye, loose three against guards, I think is where he plays best. So the Jets have some pieces on the defensive line, defensive front that are exciting moving forward, and that's about it on the defense.
Joe, just so you know, by the way, when you see me tag you on Twitter about film reviews, it's not because I'm trying to make your life difficult. I'm trying to promote your film reviews. So I tag you so that somebody will click on your Twitter handle, go to your Twitter, and find that film review. Of course, most people would rather continue to be wrong and not educate themselves rather than actually go and take a look at film reviews. But we both know that. It's unfortunate. That's how Twitter works. But hopefully more people will check out your Twitter film reviews and your reviews over at JetsXFactor.com, where you are doing Blewett's Blitz. Make sure that you are following Joe at JoeRB31 on Twitter. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and turnonthejets.com.